Blog Talk Radio.
Aboard. This is Here Be Monsters. Jack, you with me?
I sure am. You bet. And I love that Booker T and the MGs. Those guys are fabulous.
We have to say fare thee well to Donald Dunn, who was the hot licks on the bass for Booker T and the MGs forever, man.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us, as you were just telling me, what's the history of that song? What year?
Well, it came out as a hit in 1962, so it was pretty heavy stuff for the times, considering, you know, in those days you had a bunch of girl groups and a bunch of, you know, teeny bopper crap coming out. It was pre-Beatles, of course, and all the way through the early days of the Beatles and well into the Beatles era, they had one hit after another, kind of flirting with soul, kind of flirting with jazz, flirting with blues, and great guitar, great bass, great keyboards. Oh, man, what a fabulous band.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I would have loved to have seen them live, and I never did.
Multiracial. You know, I never saw them live either, but
yeah.
I had vinyl. I had their vinyl.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Not until today when I was reading this and I watched the video I just played a part of, did I realize I don't have them on CD or on the iPod or anything, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, after today's show, I'm going to run over to iTunes and pick up a copy of Green Onions, at least.
Oh, they've got a bunch of them that are on there, and from Hip Hugger to, you know, Green Onions, of course, was their first big hit, and, you know, they kept popping them off one after another. They're a great, great band, you know,
well,
all through the 60s.
Yeah, so that's our little fond farewell to.
Yeah, we're sorry to see him go. He's a real progressive musician.
Absolutely. Well, talent is talent. You know, those are chops. I did. Those are chops.
Yeah, those guys were top of the pile. They were great.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here and gone.
Yeah.
This is the Sunday show, and I'm Gwen Berry. And today I've got Jack back. Thank you for being with us, Jack.
Thank you for having me back. I was gone, destroyed by a cold for about 3 weeks, and prior to that I was dabbling in horrible news about my brother coming down with stage 4 esophageal cancer and dealing with that. So it's been a rough few weeks here, but I'm back in the groove now and going to stay there, so...
Hey, you know what, Jack? I've always found out that when the body gets ill, it's because we need to go down. We need the rest. We need the recovery. And it's usually an emotional recovery of some kind. It's got nothing to do with the body. It's got everything to do with the heart. So, Jack, I'm so glad you're back.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. It's good to be back. And a lot of stuff has happened. Boy, Since I was last on, we've lost Keith Olbermann. I mean, my God, what happened? I just can't believe it.
Geez.
And millions of things have gone on.
I don't watch news anymore. If I wake up late at night, I might tune in to, because I've, you know, got the dang cable, and that was my birthday present to myself last year, was a very inexpensive HD wide TV for the bedroom. That's the only place I have one. And,
good. Well, that's great. That's, you can stay informed that way, and on the Internet, too. You know, Rachel's good for stuff. Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! Is good for stuff.
Now,
there's all kinds of things out there.
You can see her on the television on Link TV. I have to go to my inner tubes for it.
Right.
But I'm not watching much news on the television anymore. The networks, I go over to watch Cenk at Young Turks on Current.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I end up getting pissed.
Yeah.
So my blood pressure goes, and I'm like, oh, wait,
stop.
Not all the time. He's good guy. It's just that I've got better info at the end of the day from the Internet.
Sure. Yeah.
On certain topics, and so it upsets me.
And, you know, Elliot Spitzer's okay, but he's no Keith Olbermann. Let's face it.
Oh, my God,
let's get real.
He doesn't listen to his guests.
No, yeah, and Jennifer Granholm, she's a nice lady, and I like her viewpoints, but she's not a TV person, really.
No, she hasn't found her footing yet. She ain't filling her own boots, and I think she's a little nervous to do so. She's trying. Somebody's, I think, coaching her how to do it, and I think she needs to learn how to get natural at it. I find her hopeful. But I don't listen to her. And Rachel Maddow does so much whitewashing for the military and for Obama that it upsets me. So I don't go there.
Right.
And
I watch Ed a little bit, and I watch Rachel, and I bounce around. I used to be glued to Keith, those were the good old days, but they're gone.
You can't keep talent down.
No, right.
And he is talented, and he does address the issues that you know, since Olbermann's gone, there's absolutely no coverage of Occupy.
Right,
there's
absolutely
no coverage of many things, and I think that there are people with money and with access to the television, to the cable company.
Mm-hmm.
We're beginning to notice the gaping hole left by not having Olbermann on. At least I hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's very evident. There's the substitutes are they're not quite up to the task. Let's be honest about it. And not that he was the be all and end all, but he really led the way for progressive news coverage on TV and hard hitting. It was entertaining to see all that stuff.
His commentary matched I didn't always agree with him.
No, not all the time, right.
Important things since he was at MSNBC. His comments, his commentary, I have...
His special
comments. Yeah, his special comments, I think, have been the caliber of an Edward R. Murrow.
Agree. Oh, I couldn't agree more. He was fabulous in that regard. And, you know, he's kind of, in a way, he's kind of shot himself in the foot now twice inside of 2 years. I just wonder where and when he's going to pop up again. I anxiously await it, but I just wonder if he's, I don't know what the deal is.
I got to tell you, Jack, I've been, I think we've all been, we easily forget that there's a person there, too, because we see celebrity, we see the person we admire who's doing the fight on air for us. We always see that, but we don't see. He lost both parents who he had intimate relationships with in a period of a year.
Yeah,
and
I know.
When I lost my mom, I was 32, and I grieved actively.
Yeah.
I traveled, and I drank, did all kinds of things.
Sure.
But I did not address what my heart's desire was for what I wanted to do with my life. I was thinking. And I know that Keith Olbermann had very close relationships with his parents.
He really did. That's right.
And so people forget that. And I think that if we knew the backstory on it, and maybe one day when we're gray, we will.
Yeah, right. He's typically been a very private man, so there isn't a lot known about his private life. And he's kept it that way, and he's kept, as a self-defense measure, I don't blame him, because once you're a public figure, I mean, everybody's all over you. And that he's been able to keep the paparazzi away and all that stuff, good job, Keith, that's great. But I know what you're talking about, the private things going on in his life that have affected him. I know he was very disappointed by getting over to Current. He claims that he was promised all kinds of things that were never delivered, including a really good working studio. And that's a, you know, I it's hard to be too critical of Al Gore, but I wonder how active Al Gore really is in the operations of that network.
Since Al Gore never really stood up and said, as the environmental guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, he has a great big PR firm that touts him as the environmental factor of the American politics.
Yeah, right, right.
He never said one goddamn word about BP. Really?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, that was very very interesting. And I wonder why. I wonder what the angles are there that kept him from speaking out against BP.
You know,
you would have thought it would have been right in his sights.
Mm-hmm. I think it's money. It
must be.
But, you know, hey, you know, I got an interesting piece of news to interject here, Jack. It is Mother's Day. And I would like to say a happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Fulton, who is Trayvon Martin's mother.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yes,
I saw her on TV with a little message earlier today. Good for her.
Yeah, she
great lady.
Yeah, she actually received a donated 8 months of vacation from her coworkers
mm-hmm.
in the, pardon me, Dade County Housing Authority. Dade County is Miami.
Uh-huh.
To those people who have been denigrating South Florida for so long, and
mm-hmm.
it's been through a lot of the liberal media,
mm-hmm.
how nasty things are in Florida as a red state, or how nasty it is with, you know, the backward actions of the Ku Klux Klan,
mm-hmm.
you know, overshadowing things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
pardon me. I'd like to point to this kindness with pure pleasure and say that we do care down here.
Oh, yeah.
We are liberal. We're bright. We're thoughtful. And happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Fulton.
Right. Not everybody is Rick Scott.
No.
No, so people need to remember that. You know.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
today I wanted to bring up a subject to talk about before we go on, focusing on the issue of non-disclosure by our leadership, and I mean that on a global level, the nuclear lies
mm-hmm.
that have been going on. There was a piece put out by Natural News that, and I'm quoting here, the Freedom of Information Act request
mm-hmm.
filed by the Friends of the Earth, the Physicians for Social Responsibility, and the Nuclear Information and Resource Center has unearthed a shocking series of new evidence proving a deliberate global cover-up of true severity of Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster. And the unfortunate reality is that the mainstream media continues to blatantly ignore this colossal scandal.
Yeah. Well, they target on something and they cover it intensely and bore everybody with it, and they treat it superficially most of the time, and then they dart onto something else. It's like the flavor of the month with these guys, and you know, it was BP for a while, then they completely are ignoring that now, and it was Fukushima for a little while. They've been ignoring that for quite a while now. So I mean, it's good that somebody's focusing on it and bringing it back into the spotlight,
yes.
because
Well, the private emails and meeting transcripts and other key documents reveal that both the Obama White House and the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission were well aware of just how bad things really were at Fukushima from the early days of the disaster, but they did nothing to warn the public about it.
Well, they're in favor of developing more nuclear energy here, and I'm not in favor of that myself. But because of that, that's undoubtedly why they've been keeping everything quiet.
Well, yeah, I can see where
they're going to open up a new nuclear plant down in Georgia, I understand, pretty soon.
Well,
it's not already open.
How far that's going to go? Have you heard about how bad it is at number four and at Fukushima?
I haven't heard recently. No.
For the first time, I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
I just said that on broadcast, and I mean it. I'm actually scared.
Mm-hmm.
What have you heard lately? Number four is the number four reactor with the cracked foundation and the open spent fuel rods has not been contained since day one, and it's been leaking.
Not good.
And it's been leaking into the atmosphere and the Pacific Ocean. It's been flooding out every day into the Pacific Ocean.
Not good at all. Imagine the sea life it's contaminating and the air and everything else. That's just not good.
Well, and you consider that the fishermen of the Gulf, the ones who do go out, they're paid by BP to go out, that do go out. They're bringing in,
tainted crab and everything else.
Fish, shrimp with tumors on them. That's,
oh, my God.
It's disgusting to see the photographs.
It is, yeah.
Fish with, and there's been fish kills now. At several different ports all through the basin. We're talking thousands of fish coming up, whole schools, you know.
This is in the Gulf of Mexico?
This is in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right,
They have yet to start harvesting any fish out of the Pacific yet, but I'm simply myself, if it comes out in the Northeast, if it's shellfish from the Northeast, I'll still eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really
define Northeast for me, or for our listeners.
From Boston to Maine.
Okay, very good.
Because I don't think that the Gulf Stream is following along close to the. It's not following
close to those shores. Yeah.
Shores at all anymore. Thank gosh for the East Coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, you know, it's been because of the whole disaster in the Gulf that the scientists in especially Northern Europe, but in contemporary Western Europe are in because they had such bouts with huge cold this last winter that they
haven't seen in so long.
Mm-hmm. And they do see it as, you know, the problems created with the Gulf Stream, which makes sense. We all are one, you know. This is one organism here.
Right.
Plant. But, according to the information gathered from hundreds of pages worth of private NRC emails, conference calls, and secret meetings, key players in the Fukushima whitewashing campaign began, including the NRC's David McIntyre and Elliot Brenner, were hard at work in the days following the disaster, distracting public attention away from it. And this president now is wanting to build nuclear facilities. This is bad. This is the wrong side of humanity. Or am I wrong, Jack?
I agree. I don't think it's a good course at all. I think there's better ways than that, and it's just too dangerous. And you know, nothing is earthquake proof or environment proof. You know, you can't build something that's going to just last forever without any flaws, without any danger of it, you know, being destroyed or damaged. You just can't do it. So it's just foolish to to think that you can, and why proceed with this stuff? It's crazy.
Well, the folks who it's being called at this point, it's starting to get a name, Plumegate, because they didn't speak truthfully at the time about the large plume that arose mm-hmm. after it cracked open.
Right.
And how it's been leaking ever since. The situation,
sure.
you know, and the massive cover-up, critical information that could have saved thousands of lives, too.
Yeah, exactly. And owing to the fact that in Fukushima it's still active and still spewing forth that stuff, I mean, it's seeping into the ocean. That's affecting sea life. I mean,
we're not even talking. I mean, you and I have both got parts of Chernobyl in us. We've got
that. Oh, exactly. Right, exactly.
What do you think the whole world has got in it now?
Oh, a lot more than they used to. It's a lot more since Fukushima became active, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that.
Over 14,000 people are dead, and many of the dead in Japan are
mm-hmm.
babies. They were little babies. I mean,
right.
I'm going to.
If it was deliberate, you'd call it genocide. It was accidental. It's very recklessly accidental, but it's the end result was genocide anyway.
I can't tell you how shameful I think it is that.
Oh, yeah.
The United States, NATO, the United Nations, and all of the quote world powers, including Russia, including China, and China ought to watch its ass.
Mm-hmm.
This is their tail end.
Exactly.
It did not step forward immediately and say,
mm-hmm.
you know, they let a freaking corporation who was running for cover called TEPCO.
Right.
A freaking corporation run for cover, and now the whole planet will bear the signature of it.
It's terrible. And, you know, here we go again. Let's talk about that for a moment. We're talking about governments, but governments, multinational corporations, they don't respond to government actions. They ignore them. They flaunt them. They don't care. They're anti-government. They're oblivious to government, so they just do whatever they damn well please, and that's the end result.
Well, and here you got an election year going on, and
mm-hmm.
right now Merkel's losing Germany at this point over this question, the nuclear
right.
energy.
I was so glad to see Hollande win in France, because that upset the whole austerity apple cart big time, and it's shocked. You know, Merkel actually campaigned or offered to campaign for Sarkozy. Can you imagine that? And it blew up right in her face and his face. So this austerity stuff is, for all practical purposes, about ready to die, and it was bad to begin with.
Well, it can't. You know why it can't die? The same way that it can't. Wall Street won't die here, and the
right.
politicians in office here won't die, and their corporate
right.
owners won't die. It's about money. They're all tied to money. All the
leaders sure.
in this world, in this whole world, including China and Russia. And
right. Oh yeah.
There's a few Polynesian colonies that probably don't give a damn. I know it's nicer in the Bahamas myself,
yeah.
but here's the point. Well, they just struck gold, silver, and copper under the hills and the rubble of the earthquakes in Haiti.
Good for them. That they'll at least have something get some money from, you know, because they've been decimated.
Haiti will bear any of the fruit of that.
Somebody will grab it. You're right. That's true. Very true.
This is the world we're living in. And you
right.
and I, we can sit here and we can talk about it on this alternative radio and bring some truth to bear to
right.
leadership.
Right.
But you're not going to find this. Hell, I was even watching. There's another big thing this week that happened that we need to talk about. I wrote about it. We need to write about your. We need to talk about your post, and
oh,
we
yeah.
need to talk about my post.
Right.
Both. But it's all about corporations and the
mm-hmm.
ownership of these corporations over humanity right now. We're talking about. I saw a picture. And we've got an English gentleman in the chat room right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a picture on Facebook that made me laugh at first, and then I realized the serious nature of it. It was a picture of Queen Elizabeth with her crown, and the quote on it was something about, you know, and she's talking to us in a million-dollar hat about austerity.
No, I know, yeah.
it's just the irony of it all.
It is, you're right.
You
yeah.
know, and they're chastising today, they're booting out and chastising J.P. Morgan CEOs for losing $2 billion, but it's all another game they're playing to
sure.
make it look all right. The 1% is actually not the 1% that the 99% try to make the issue about, because it doesn't make sense but the real 1%, the lady sitting on the throne over there is that 1% of the 1%, you know what I mean?
Sure, oh, way up there, that's right, yeah.
And
fabulously wealthy.
I'm not making a judgment on whether, you know, I don't care about people's bank accounts, I care
right.
about their moral values. And their
and what
values.
They do with it, and what they do with their
right.
money, yeah. There's some fabulously wealthy people who do very benevolent actions with their money that are actually benefit people to a great deal, but those are few and far between. There's so much of the other kind. They're just out to, obsessed to get more and more and more and just stick it away somewhere or put it into something that'll get them even more money, and it really doesn't benefit anybody but them.
Well, it's really quite true, and there are, but there are beneficent people around.
Yes.
I mean, I get a little out of joint sometimes when people talk about the Rockefellers to a certain degree, because, you know, I knew a couple.
Well, they did a lot of very good things. Even the Koch brothers, on occasion, will do a good thing. You know, it's not all one-sided, but.
Yeah, it's not all one. It's apples and oranges, but it's like looking at Exxon and understanding that the largest stockholders of Atlantic Richfield, you know, are actually family members who have been trying to push the board
mm-hmm.
to go to green energy for the last 20 years. And
oh, good for them.
Well, yes, but they're unable to actually, you know, create that kind of a shift.
Yeah, well, everybody around them is immersed in and obsessed with just making money off of fossil fuels. Bam, bam, bam. It's easy. Let's grab it. Let's do it. Let's drill, drill, drill. Let's do more. You know, they're too distracted by the obvious, and they don't want to deal with any. They don't want to gamble on anything risky. They want easy cash.
Well, they want cash that backs them up with power.
Right.
And, you know, when we get down to it, with all of the power and the crap, and, you know, I mean, what power? What do they want? What is it? How come enough is never enough? I
know, it's crazy, isn't it? It defies logic, but it's the truth. Enough is never enough for these guys. And that's why they're putting forth this time Mitt Romney for president. You know, don't kid yourself. He may be unpopular among many groups, but I'll tell you what, he has solid backing behind of the financial community. They're behind him 1,000%.
Mr. Boy, yeah, no, he's basically a corporate raider, and he'd like.
Oh yes, he is. Absolutely, he's a predator.
He watched Dick Cheney just scrape coins and gold out of this
mm-hmm.
country, and he wants to get him some.
You bet he does. And he wants the power, and he wants the prestige, and it's very self-centered. And, you know, he'll do anything to obtain this. This guy is a massive liar. And that's what I point out in my latest blog entry, which I am inviting people every month from now till the end of the election cycle, till the end of October. I'm going to post the biggest lies he's told every month, and they are going to be many. I'm guaranteeing you that right now. He's already got a number this month, and by the end of this month, I'm going to post his biggest lies for May. At the end of June, I'll do the same thing for June. July, August, September, October. You know, we're going to get so many of them down. Any independent that's fence straddling will have to look at this and go, what am I thinking of? Voting for that liar? You know.
Well, listen, Jack, I got a proposition for you here. Why don't you prepare yourself for Sunday with some sheets of your blog and come up, we'll give you put aside the moments for you just to give us the weekly count of the Mitt Romney lies.
All right, I'll see what I can do this week. I've already got two big ones that he's told just in the last couple of weeks, and the guy's just a joke. He's just such a liar. He'll say or do anything if he thinks he smells a vote in it, you know?
Yeah, he will.
And in the process, he'll be misleading people and trying to convince them to vote for him, even though it's a completely worthless cause, and it'll be against their own best interests to vote for him because he has no intention of doing anything other than what the Bushes did to this economy. He wants to, you know, cut taxes for billionaires. He wants to, he calls it pro-growth and pro-growth policies. What that means is cutting taxes, ending regulations, and just letting business have its way. I'm sorry, that's not the way it's got to be.
Big business. You mean big business.
Big business, exactly, yeah.
And mom and pop operations, or even what I would consider big business, say the local furniture factory here.
Sure.
He would absolutely
ignore.
Corporately raid. He'd
corporately raid it. Yeah, turn it over to somebody bigger and skim the profits off it and bankrupt the original company and do what he's done for most of his adult life.
Yeah, it's all he knows.
That's all he knows.
I was living in Massachusetts when he was governor, and he was nothing but a milquetoast. All he ever did was. If he was asked questions on policy or issues of the moment and he had no idea, he would fling it off to an underling, and it was obvious that they were the ones making policy. All he cared about was getting that office so that he could run for president.
Exactly. Sticking his face in front of the camera and smiling and lying and having a microphone in his hand to tell more lies. The guy's absolutely disgusting and totally untrustworthy.
I agree with you. For 1 minute, for a couple of minutes, I have a piece here to play. There's actually there's a new film that has been out, and it's playing locally for folks. You have to look for it. It's called We Are Legion. It's the hacktivist film about beginnings of Anonymous, from Scientology to the Occupy movement.
Uh-huh.
And got a little piece here. Let's listen to what they've got to say about that movie, and we'll come back.
Great. Look forward to it.
The computer hacker group Anonymous is claiming tonight that it took down the website of the Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco this afternoon.
They took down Senate.gov servers. They've taken down H.B. Gary. Sony's claiming they did $150 million worth of damage.
So many confidential files that tonight, because of these hackers, can be in the hands of anyone.
Visa, MasterCard, the PayPal situation.
The criminals who hacked into Sarah Palin's private email.
The Church of Scientology says Anonymous is a cyber terrorist group of religious bigots.
Anonymous and this other group called LulzSec. They seem to be wanting to prove a point.
Anonymous kind of was like the big, strong, buff kid who had low self-esteem. And then all of a sudden punched somebody in the face and was like, holy shit, I'm really strong. Anonymous calls itself the final boss of the internet. And sometimes it proves to be really fucking true. You are going to violate the freedoms of the internet, you certainly better watch the fuck out.
They are kind of the rude boys of activism.
They ain't just boys either.
There's a real rough edge to them, which I think also is one reason why they garner so much love and hate from people too. They represent a certain sort of chaotic freedom.
The hacker ethos has a passion for truth. It wants what's real to be out there. And it uses kind of the Philip K. Dick definition of reality. Reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, refuses to go away.
We stand for freedom. We stand for freedom of speech, the power of the people, the ability for them to protest against the government, to right wrongs. No censorship, especially online, but also in real life.
We have members throughout society and all stratas of it worldwide, yet we have no leadership.
It's a one voice. It's not individual voices. That's why we don't show our faces. That's why we don't give our names. We're speaking as one, and it's a collective. Good timing.
So the FBI shows up at 6 in the morning and they drag me out in the cold, and there's guns and a little LED flashlight in the vest. It's really obnoxious. You so much as sneeze on someone's tablet and the government's not happy about it, then you're a hacker.
There's people that are dying for a flag, and they're being like, maybe it's time for a new law. If I get the chance to do that, then so be it. And if 14 other people that are with me get the chance to do it, then so be it.
You want to see Anonymous rise up? Try to shut down the message. Try to squash the message. Try to chill our speech. Then you'll see what Anonymous can do.
Right now, you could argue that the most powerful people on Earth are a bunch of nameless, faceless 17 to 35-year-olds. It's like the hacker ruling class, right?
It's my community. It's my culture. I identify with the Anonymous.
Whether they had a tiny part, whether they had a substantive part in the Arab Spring or the toppling of Egyptian government, individual young, nameless, faceless folks are having geopolitical impact. It's both exhilarating to realize that and terrifying to realize that. It kind of depends on how that power is wielded.
So, Jack, that's the promo for We Are Legion, and it's a pretty good piece. There's a video on...
It sounds good. You know, it started out with somebody talking about how they're related to terrorist groups and all this nonsense. You know, that's just the flavor of the day. Now it's terrorists. In the old days, it was communists. It's always some boogeyman that somebody's got to put on a name on somebody that they don't understand or don't like. So it's ridiculous, really. But that's a very interesting premise that you played there. And it's...
Now this is a well-known documentarian has made mm-hmm. this documentary.
Great,
and,
sounds good.
And they had a panel discussion on it in New York the other night, and somebody filmed the discussion. It was 40 minutes.
Oh, good.
25 minutes of it was pared down and put into a little video that you can watch if you go onto YouTube and look for We Are Legion.
Oh, great.
And the hacktivist documentary. And mm-hmm. It's really quite good because they've got two people represented, one on Skype and one sitting in the panel, mm-hmm. who've got their Guido masks on. I adore mine. You can't take mine. I mean, I still wear it to the grocery store.
Good.
So that people will ask me, you know,
great.
What is that about?
Exactly.
Me, I'm like the middle-aged lady who comes to do my grocery shopping, but I've got
You're the Guido girl.
Yeah, I've got this Guy Fawkes mask on backwards, and they think, oh, my goodness, are you one of them? Oh, yeah, I am, you know.
Oh, yeah, and you can educate them as you go, that's right.
I do, and I've had some interesting conversations at the produce stand and at Publix talking to my neighbors, saying, you know, this is not about computer terrorism or somebody trying to get your information.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
they always got to combat this stuff with false tales that are fear laden. You know.
Yeah, it's quite true. You're quite right there, Jack.
Yeah.
You were talking about how Mitt Romney is taking advantage of, or you hadn't yet. We hadn't actually gone into it. This week we had quite a shift in American leadership from the Oval Office. When first of all, it was a week ago today that Joe Biden
made the comment that landed him in the doghouse among some of the staffers, but it started a good result overall, you know.
It did. So. I think, just to be clear, I think it's purely politically motivated by this president. I don't for a minute think
it,
that he's
it could be. I don't know.
Goodness
I
of
think he's
heart.
You know what I really think? I saw your piece and I commented on it, but I really think what he's doing here is that he's like he's been true to form. He's afraid to really be controversial and really, really push stuff out there. So Biden did it, and then all of a sudden he reluctantly came along. And, you just want him to get up there and be a Harry Truman, but he never is.
Well, I think he's trying to reach out and collect back the grassroots youth that he lost in droves in the last few years.
Yeah, and I think this will help him. There's no doubt about that. You know,
you're not alone in that. I will say that I will watch in the morning on Saturday and in the morning. Sometimes I don't watch them till Tuesday, but I record them. Hayes, up with
Chris. Oh, he's great.
MSNBC. And
right.
I thought his roundtable yesterday with all of the, you know, very impressive gay, lesbian authors and activists that
mm-hmm.
he had on, including the senator from New York.
Yeah.
And
New York State, yeah.
New York State, yes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I do think it is, as I said, purely a political ploy.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that that most grassroots activists that went knocking for him in
mm-hmm.
08 are probably pretty hip, but there's always new ones coming up right behind him, and he
sure.
will probably appeal to them on this.
Yeah,
but
on
I,
this one he will, there's no doubt, and that's the,
yeah.
the latest issue that will do so for him. You know,
and
because,
I have to say that beyond President Obama, This is what I think very strongly, or how I emotionally respond to this. There are children and young adults who will wake up in the world now, and this is outside of the borders of America, because he is a world leader, recognized for it, and
right.
I'm sure this news has gone across the world.
Oh, I'm sure it has too.
And there are people who wake up every day, like I wrote about it. I mean, these kids, they wake up wondering what fresh hell of hate crimes and hate
mm-hmm.
bullying they will have to live through that day. And because
right.
Obama has done this.
Right. Well, you know, hopefully it nets us a good result. But worldwide, when you're talking worldwide, this may not create as big of a ripple as we may have hoped, only because most of the other countries in the world, they don't concern themselves with this stuff. They don't get all embroiled in this stuff and get all bent out of shape over it. It's a foolish American trait.
You're quite right there. I'm thinking more of the more isolated countries, like maybe perhaps Pakistan or
yeah, okay,
yeah. You know, where there's definitely bright young people within a society that to me, very frankly, is repressive, and yet
right.
there is motion there, and there is social connection to the rest of the evolving world. So
right.
And there's no society on this planet. I mean, even in, you know, among first peoples in this country, I mean, homosexuals 300 years ago were considered, you know, either medicine people because they were so different, or usually medicine people, crazy people. You know, you'd stay away.
Always to be scorned. Yeah.
Yeah, but also revered to a certain degree too. They didn't push them outside. And then as the last century or the century before last dawned, they began calling them Winkies in the West. But always some kind of heoka, medicine person. All societies have you know, because people are born this way.
Yeah.
And what Obama did was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. No doubt about it. And I don't think it'll be that big of a deal here either. I don't think, you know, the people that are going to react negatively toward it, they aren't going to vote for him anyway. No matter what he does, they're going to be against him, and this will be one of a long lines of things that they'll point to say, oh, this guy is bad and evil and we can't vote for him, you know.
But for everybody else,
most people are neutral or approve, so I don't think it'll cost him politically at all.
I hear you. I agree with you on that one. But it was interesting, in the same week that Obama has made this large splash in this country with the media on this issue, if you will, which is not an issue, it's a human right.
Right, exactly.
What's basically going on the other side of the street with Mitt Romney, it's unfolding that Romney was the kind of bully,
right,
prep school,
yep,
that would push a kid to taking
sure.
their life.
Sure. And the kid in question just had long hair and was slightly effeminate, and Romney just had to be a big tough guy, like a lot of these idiots do, and push him down and cut his hair. What a jerk, you know?
Well,
but I mean, that's in high school. That's, you know, a long time ago. But it's typical of the attitude that he would have, and probably still carries to this day.
Yes, and it was a hate crime.
Right.
It's a hate crime, and it's assault and battery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
exactly
the thing that drives kids to take their own lives.
Right.
And this has political consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really does. And I know that Chris Hayes brought that up yesterday.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
I haven't seen the complete show, but it does have political consequences. I will be shocked if he gets very far with the whole of the Republican Party out there, the voting Republican Party.
Well, I think Chris made the point also that he and the Republicans' basic strategy is they think the only way they can win this election is on the economy, by harping on the economy and how supposedly Obama's mismanaging it and not making it any better and all this stuff. And so they want to sidestep it as much as they can. They don't want to get embroiled in this. They want to make it an election about the economy. And so any little thing like this is, to them, is just a mere distraction, and they'll put it back in a back drawer somewhere, you know?
What's really crazy is the very real prospects, Jack, of you see what's going on in Spain and God, it's going on in Britain.
And Greece and France and everywhere.
Oh, my God, I'm Greek every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you see what austerity is doing. And
it's terrible.
You know, Iceland had the right idea. They said
right.
F-U to the IMF.
Yeah.
This is about bankers.
That's right.
This is totally about bankers. When you say France made a great choice, the people did, yes. But if we think for one moment this is going to change an austerity policy with people who hold the purse strings over the government of France, I think we're sadly mistaken.
Well, it's gonna slow them down for a little bit and make them change their tactic to a certain extent, because you know the French they're volatile too. They aren't gonna put up with a load of crap, and especially if austerity touches them too greatly, they'll be out in the streets. They brought down the government of De Gaulle years ago, and he was a popular guy.
Yeah.
And they did it by getting in the streets and raising hell. And they'll do that.
Yes. You know, Europeans have my fascination.
Admiration.
And admiration. Because of their ability to unite past even political party kind of bonds. When it gets too bad, they seem to recognize. Then again, is it because they're an older, more seasoned?
I think so.
Is it because they are raised with that kind of understanding and strength in the soil and who they are?
Right.
I have to wonder at this point. If that's what it
they,
is.
Another aspect, too, they have more political parties to choose from, which makes them more fractious at times, but it also makes them far more representative, really.
Yes, yes, I agree with that 100%. Really agree with that.
Yeah, there may be instability and governments falling here and there and everywhere, but by and large, they don't fall into this Tweedledee Tweedledum stuff that we are plagued with, where there's a little tiny shift here and a little tiny shift there, but it's basically the same old ram it up here, you know what? They don't have that.
Well, the exit polls are indicating that voters in Germany's most populous state have strengthened a center-left regional government, which Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservatives sought to portray as irresponsibly spendthrift.
Well, then let's let them carry through to victory and depose her. Get her out of office.
Well, they seem to be getting there. They really.
That's what I mean. The ripples from France and Greece are gonna flow across the continent, and that's why I mean the austerity measures as we know them right now, they've been arrested, and they're gonna be replaced eventually by something probably equally as bad. But for now, they're shocked and they're stopped dead in their tracks, and that's a healthy sign.
You know, Spain's indignance, the Guido mask wearing guys over in Spain, the protesters on yesterday demonstrated at Puerta del Sol Square in Madrid.
Great.
Yesterday, in the thousands. And it launches a 4-day protest, and the same kicked off in New York City at OW. One thing I do want to mention is that, and I'm trying to get Oso sort of booked to come on and talk about it. Occupy Oakland, which is considered the bookend of the Occupy movement, or was in America. Occupy Oakland, it seems sort of fractured, the group that Oso is with, Decolonize Oakland, is a very good group. They remain true to a lot of the beginnings of everything, and there was a march yesterday that they were involved in, and I know Oso was, regarding the young man who was shot by... on the action that took place...
it was about a month ago or a month and a half ago?
No. This recently? Happened 4 days ago.
For heaven's sake, okay.
By the Oakland PD. The Oakland Police Department just,
they're something else, aren't they?
They actually got Homeland Security to bring him in a tank.
That figures. That's about their speed. They overreact to everything.
Oh, yeah. And there's one other thing I want to mention. We're coming down to our last few minutes, and I'll remind you again to get together with those Mitt Romney Lives for the week for next week.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to visit my site. Just Google the Saturday Afternoon Post, all in capital letters, and it'll lead you to my site. There's several entries there, one of which was on my old site, which may come up, but just keep going till you find the current one that's on WordPress, and just bombard me with every lie that you hear or that you've heard, and we'll check them out, and we'll run them at the end of each month from now on.
There you go. Before we do leave, and Oscar, we're at the end. I know you called in, dude, but I can't take it today. Please come back next. They call earlier. We've only got a couple of minutes here. I did want to say that what you can do to look up the Hiller Armament Company, Mars Inc., is taking legal action against them because they've created a Trayvon Martin silhouette for a shooting target at shooting.
How disgusting.
A hoodie, the Skittles, the iced tea leave nothing to the imagination.
It's meant disgusting.
Trayvon Martin. An unarmed 17-year-old shot to death in February in Sanford, Florida. Skittles brand candy.
Candy that he went to buy for his brother,
And it depicts that the William Wrigley Jr. Company, a division of Mars Inc., produces the Skittles, and they're bringing action against Hiller Armament Company. So,
well, good.
Look them up, Hiller Armament Company.
And tar and feather them, they're terrible.
Call them. Call their corporate offices and say, hey, listen, what kind of people are you? What kind of people are you? You know? Anyways, Jack, I'm glad you're back. Thank you. Oscar, I got your message. I see. Okay, thank you. Whenever you do call in, if there's enough time, we will. He's listening to us on Skype. So after that, today we will be leaving you with this short. Short message or short song. Boy, I really blew that one, didn't I?
That's okay.
I sort of lost it all together there, didn't I? This is a little piece that was gives you a place to go to see a wonderful piece on Mother's Day. This has been Here Be Monsters. Jack Jodell, Gwen Berry, thank you for stopping by and listening to us.
Thanks, everybody.
Archive or it's live, we really appreciate it. And, Jack, I'll see you next Sunday.
Talk to you then. Look forward to it.
Okay. So, folks, we're going out with this little piece about Mother's Day, and we'll see you next Sunday.
See you then.
Hi there. From Feather Prisms, a blog that has thoughts on health, well-being, science, and spirit, I'd like to read a Mother's Day posting about the great mother turning into the energy of creation. On Mother's Day, we're not only celebrating our profound connections to our mothers, our sons, and daughters, we're celebrating our profound connection to the Great Mother, the Goddess, Mother Earth, from which we're all born and to which we will all return. It is quite clear from oral tradition, analysis of ancient mythology, archaeological research, and anthropological research that ancient human civilizations throughout the world, and this is going back at least 30,000 years ago, revered the mother figure and focused spirituality or work and worship right on top of the goddess as the mother, as the source of life, as the source of death. The predominance of matrilineal societies until very recently in human history points to the mother as source of her descendants, descending from the womb. It's a wonderful post over at Feather Prisms, and we're happy to share a few sentences of it to help celebrate at Here Be Monsters Mother's Day. So a very special Mother's Day. Greeting to everybody who listens in and calls in, and to all moms here and who have been. Happy Mother's Day from Here Be Monsters.